Though it doesn't really feel like it, it's wintertime. Bears hibernate, humans wear layers. What do bugs do? In particular, bees. I decided to find out.
Don't know, here comes another one, let's see.
That's Dr. Don Steinkraus, an entomologist at the University of Arkansas. He is standing in front of a row of beehives at the off-campus research farm. On this sunny but windy day, he's surprised to see bees flying in and out of the hive.
This is actually really quite cool for it. I mean, it's windy. That one had pollen on its legs, though, and they're exceptionally good at finding a few flowers, even in like wintertime if they get a warm day. Dandelions sometimes bloom in like sunny little warmer pockets.
Americans typically keep European bees, bees from Italy, Germany, and Hungary. Bees that are accustomed to this environment. Arkansas winters aren't really very harsh, especially this one. If there's a warm day, bees will come out in search of whatever pollen they can find.
They also do a thing called cleansing flights. Bees typically don't defecate in their hive. So on a warm day, they come out and they'll defecate outside of the hive. So they sort of hold it until they are able to get out on a warm day.
They can easily hold it for weeks on end. Further north, in places like Minnesota or Canada, where the winters are much colder, bees aren't able to get out of the hives as often or for very long. If it gets below 50 degrees, the bees want to cluster inside of the colony or beehive.
They don't hibernate, so they have this cluster. The colder it gets, the tighter the cluster of bees. Just like if you were really, really cold and you're some unheated tent and you had other buddies there, if you got really cold, you might cluster together to warm each other up. So that's what they do. They warm up by hanging out in this ball, and they eat honey all winter long.
Honey is the fuel which runs the bee colony. A cold-blooded insect, bees use the honey to generate heat in their wing muscles. Vibrating them allows them to produce a small amount of heat per bee.
But when you add that up with, like, say, 30,000 bees in a cluster, that generates enough heat to keep the cluster warm, even if it's, like, minus 20 degrees outside.
30,000 bees fit into a hive that's about 3 feet tall, and not even that wide. It's enough to keep the internal temperature of the cluster at 60 to 90 degrees, depending on the outside temp.
And the bees on the outside of the cluster get cold, and they gradually move into the interior of the cluster, and other bees in the interior move to the outside, so they all keep somewhat warm all winter. So if you could stick a thermometer into the cluster of bees, it might be like 80 degrees even in the center of it.
There's a sort of safety in numbers thing going on here. If the cluster gets too small, the entire thing could die in a cold spell. To keep those numbers up, the bee colony overall must be healthy, especially the bees going into the winter generation. A summertime bee's lifespan is 40 to 50 days. A wintertime bee lives about 4 months.
So these bees are slightly different physiologically than the ones in the summer. But if the generation being produced in August and September, the new adult bees being produced then, is of poor quality, if they're diseased or if they've been fed on by mites too much or something, they may not be very healthy and they die early, and then the colony dwindles and you lose your colony.
Bees die every day, just like humans do.
I read the obituaries every day in the newspaper, and every day, you know, 5 or 10 people die in northwest Arkansas, and probably 5 or 10 more are born. And in the bee colony, though, in the wintertime, the queen's not active laying eggs very much, generally not until, like, January comes around. She'll start laying again. So they're having to depend upon overwintering from the adult bees in that group.
A problem right now is the weather. It's warm and the bees are active, getting out of the hive. But there aren't any floral sources out there. They're wasting energy looking for pollen that just isn't there. For beekeepers, it's important to make sure they have honey in the hive, or pollen pads, even sugar or corn syrup water, anything they can sustain themselves on. For non-beekeepers, if you see them around your hummingbird feeder, well, just let them be. Entire colonies can be lost. It used to be just 10% or so.
In the last decade or something, it's been closer, maybe 25-30% lost. And if you're a commercial beekeeper, that's a big loss. And that's why there's a lot of research going on right now to how can we minimize these losses. And they're due to many different factors. Lots of different little parasites which feed on the bees, and declines in pollen and nectar quality, and, you know, all kinds of things.
There are a number of things you can do to prepare bees for winter. as simple as removing excess honey, but making sure there's still enough. A 30,000 bee colony needs 20 to 30 pounds for a typical winter here. Beehives also need protection from predators.
Sometimes people put mouse guards across the bottom so mice won't get into the hive and damage it, which they will sometimes. They'll come in when the bees are in their cluster and they can eat a few of the bees and they can eat some honey and pollen and chew on the wax and cause a mess. They make their little nests in there. So usually people put a bee guard on.
They're cold and looking for food too.
Yes, that's right.
In this climate, we almost always have one day a week where the bees can fly. And keepers are able to keep a ventilation board on bottom all year long.
So the varroa mites and things will fall out and not get back on the bees, and also provide some ventilation. So you'd think that, you know, if you have an open bottom and it's really cold, it'd be really harmful for the bees, but they actually generally can do all right.
Prior to this interview, Stein Krauss wasn't able to promise that we could look inside a hive. It's bad to mess with them too much, and you definitely don't want to let in the cold air. But as we've already mentioned, it's warm enough.
So let's open this hive and take a look, okay? And you don't have your suit zipped up, I hate to tell you. So they would fly right up inside of your hood.
Okay, well, please help. This is my first experience.
Yeah, you don't want them to fly.
This is my first experience.
You don't want them flying up in your hood.
No, I definitely don't want them in my hood.
No, normally. Normally when we open a beehive in the summertime or spring, we smoke the bees. And I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to open up. We have our bee suits on. We should be protected pretty well. So I'm going to open up. We'll just look and see what they're doing, okay? So now, if you look here, here are some bees. Now, they're going to probably get really grumpy because they don't want to be opened up. And you can see they're still alive and active in here because today's a fairly warm day. And so you can... They're just doing their thing. They're eating a little honey, and a few of them are going out foraging. They're probably taking care of maybe a little bit of brood in there. I'm not certain about that. And if we open it up more, we'd see more and more bees. And so, any questions about that?
I don't know. I just got kind of scared all of a sudden.
Yeah, me too. Because we didn't smoke them. See, one's trying to sting me right now.
Dr. Don Stein Krauss is an entomologist with the University of Arkansas. I visited the hives on the research farm earlier this week. For more information on raising your own bees, contact the U of A Agricultural Extension Service.